Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 441 for September 7th, 2013. Coming up in a few minutes.
He's a very hard act to follow. They're big shoes to fill. I mean, his legacy, he's an icon in the world of whiskey. And for me, it was great to have the opportunity to be actually mentored and trained by someone of his stature within the whiskey industry.
This week, I'm in Middleton, County Cork, Ireland, where Irish distillers Pernod Ricard dedicated the massive expansion of Middleton Distillery on Wednesday and officially welcomed a new master distiller. Brian Nation takes over from Barry Crockett, who retired after 47 years at Middleton. More with the new guy later on WhiskeyCast In Depth. I'll also have the calendar of events, this week's Your Voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, an unusual Dalmore single cask bottling, all on this week's Whiskey Cast.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive Whiskey Tasting Journal.
First off, let's start with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. The biggest news of the week was the official opening of the distillery expansion at Middleton. The project cost 200 million euros, that's around $264 million. And while most of Middleton's production will still be dedicated to Jameson, the Irish distiller's flagship brand, CEO Anna Malmiocchi says potstill whiskey lovers will see more of their favorites available in future years because of the expansion now.
It means that we can continue the success story that Jameson has been, and also means that now we can start showing even more of the breadth of Irish whiskey to the world, so the other brands like Powers, Paddy and so on. It means the world to us to be able to do this.
What's the overall future as far as you see it for Irish whiskey, because it is the fastest growing whiskey category worldwide?
I find it amazing how many people who, when you ask them, say they don't really like whiskey, and then they get to try Irish whiskey. They try Jameson, for example, and they're completely turned around. I think the future for Irish whiskey is as glorious as it used to be in the 18th and 19th century, when it was actually the biggest whiskey category in the world.
Irish Taoiseach Enda Kenny was on hand for the dedication. The Prime Minister was also in Middleton for the groundbreaking in April of 2013, on one of Ireland's biggest economic development projects in recent years.
Well, first of all, it's a sign of confidence by Irish distillers here in the Jameson plant in Middleton. Secondly, it is it's a 100 million investment in what has traditionally been a brilliant Irish product, which is now increasing in sales and volume and reputation and competence. This development here is a 60 million injection in the local economy, and that wouldn't have happened without belief in terms of the competence and the professionalism of the product produced here. So Jameson is part of the Irish whiskey sector. It is part of a globally growing product. And we can certainly vouch for the quality and the temperament of this, as they say, thrice distilled and twice as smooth.
And it's critical for the entire economy as a whole, right?
Well, it's part of the drive of government to get out of the Troika program that we're in. But also exports are very important in the agri sector. They're running at over 9 billion in terms of Ireland. But there were jobs created here in the construction of this wonderful facility, and permanent jobs being created. And Jameson here and Irish distillers recruit graduates in the distilling process. So it's a wonderful experience for people to come and see how the distillation process takes place, how the product is actually produced. And not too far from here, another 100 million injection going into the maturation plant at Thún Gúni down the road. So this is a sign of investment for the future, and I wish it and the workers who will produce the product every success and good fortune in the years ahead.
Essentially, the expansion will double the capacity at Middleton, which has been running at full production for many years now. Technical Director Dave Quinn told me the project won't officially be completed for a couple of months, though the crews did take a few hours off during the housewarming events Wednesday.
Well, what we've done, Mark, is put in two new stillhouses. One is just for pot stills alone, which is really our signature building. There's three brand new pot stills have gone in there, and they will work in tandem with the existing four pot stills that are in the existing stillhouse. So between the now seven stills We'll have enough capacity to do the pot distillation. On the column side for grain whiskey, there's a brand new column stillhouse, separate again, which is under construction and will be completed, and we'll go through the commissioning process in about November of this year. And that new column stillhouse will replace the existing columns. So the existing columns will be decommissioned and be replaced by the new columns. So two separate, completely separate buildings and two different types of stills. Yeah.
A lot of logistics putting all this together and making everything work and making the transition, right?
A lot. I mean, the major part of the building, where we got planning permission back in April of 2012, and the new pot still house was producing, not only built, but it was producing spirit by April of 2012, so just about 2013. So about 12 months from getting planning permission to build and actually building and getting the pot stills in and producing, just slightly over 12 months. So a huge effort, yeah.
And this is going to allow you to create more pot still distillate for Redbreast and Powers and the other pot stills that you want to do, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as well as supporting our main brand, Jameson, it's going to give us the capacity to meet what we see as the current and future demand for all of the new range of single pot stills, like Green Spot, the Yellow Spot, Redbreast 12, Redbreast 15, and maybe another Redbreast shortly.
Funny, no one would tell me any more about that new Redbreast Dave just hinted at. One final note, while it wasn't part of the official program, there was a special ceremony at the original stillhouse. It was renamed the Barry Crockett Stillhouse to honor Barry's 47 years at Middleton. Once again, we'll hear from Barry's successor, Brian Nation, later in this week's Whiskey Cast. In other news, it's been a busy week over in Scotland. Diageo unveiled this year's series of special releases. The range includes 10 different single malts, including the oldest distillery bottling from Lagavulin on record. The whiskey was distilled in 1976 and bottled at 37 years of age. Only 1,868 bottles will be available at a price of $3,000 each. The range also includes the usual vintage Port Ellen and Brora single malts, a rare Convilmore bottling from the Dufton Distillery that closed in 1985, and a special Kalila expression. This one honors Billy Stitchell and his entire family. Billy's planning to retire later this year after being at the distillery since 1974. His father, both grandfathers, and one great-grandfather also worked at Kalila. The Kalila Stitchell Reserve is unpeated with no age statement. It'll sell for about $110 a bottle. You'll find complete details on the range in the news pages at WhiskeyCast.com. Earlier this year, Fred and Stuart Lang split up the family business, with each brother taking half of Douglas Lang & Company. Fred got the Douglas Lang name, brought his daughter Kara into the business, and they're now releasing their first new line of whiskeys since the demerger. Fred says Kara made the new Douglas Lang's Old Particular range her priority even before the split became official.
Essentially, Kara had been unemployed, in inverted commas, after she left Beaumont, and so she was unofficially employed, I suppose, by me at that stage, and started the ball rolling on Old Particular. And so when we took up the baton here, the pair of us together, we were fairly far along the road, but there's quite a long gestation period putting a pack together and getting the right samples that we either accept or reject for what for us is a particularly important launch mark.
So where did the name Old Particular come from?
We had a couple of brainstorming sessions, and between you and I, and the rest of your listeners, I suppose, is actually officially dubbed Douglas Lang's Old Particular. Strangely enough, one of our old brands used the expression "old particular," and as we threw different ideas about, you know, we started honing in on a number of them, some of which just by popular review around the office and with our friends did not work, and the old particular we felt was particularly nice, because we're trying to make a particular claim and a particular indication that the stock we've got, the packaging we've brought, is indeed particularly appropriate. Not to bore you too much with such particulars. Sorry, Mark.
No worries. So what whiskies will be in the first release?
The first release is not quite specifically our biggest of hitters, because we've got them coming through in different tranches. We're trying to get about 20 casks per month after launch date into the system. Fair to say that we've got a rather nice Laphroaig 16. We've got a Portel in 31 years. We've got a really rather nice Tomatin 20-year-old. Breval has been selected at 15 years of age. There's an Arran cask, which is lovely, and it's a 17-year-old. Clanlish is one of my own personal favourites, and it works very well for me at different ages. This is a 16-year-old Clanlish. Cara was particularly happy to release a Bowmore 25-year-old. And there's a couple of these ones that will probably be sold by allocation. But, no, there's quite an interesting selection. And without going through the whole list, you know, other ones that spring to mind are a 15-year-old Bladnach, and there's a 20 or a 21-year-old Blair Athol. That was a great cask. So we'll obviously be doing some Macallan, probably 20. It's a 20-year-old cask from memory in the next cask tranche that will be released at the end of September. Bottom line is, between this brand, a couple of other strategic labels that we've laid down in the interim, and a new small batch brand that we will release on October the 1st, and Big Pete's cousin, who will be Speyside and very sherry sweet in concept, will be a 1st of November release. You can see we've been driving along quite busily, quite low-key, below the radar, depending on Big Pete sales and provenance and our double barrel sales to sustain us in the interim. But some really interesting single casks and small batches coming up.
Those upcoming new releases include a small batch series in October and a Speyside cousin of Big Pete to be unveiled in November. We also got news this week of a new lightly peated single malt from Tomatin. Kubakken is named after a mythical beast said to have prowled the highlands near the distillery. It'll be released as a small batch series with several releases expected each year. This upcoming Friday is Friday the 13th, and the English Whiskey Company timed it just right. They'll be releasing Chapter 13 of their single malt on Friday the 13th. 1,300 bottles will be available at retailers in the UK and through the distillery's website. Wild Turkey is entering the spiced whiskey arena. Wild Turkey Spiced takes the classic bourbon and adds spices usually used in rums. In the news release, they noted that they had considered putting a pirate on the label until they realized that pirates wear tights. Jimmy and Eddie Russell weren't apparently quite willing to go that far for the ad campaign. And finally, Scotch whiskey exports over the first 6 months of 2013 came close to £2 billion, according to the Scotch Whiskey Association. That's about $3.1 billion, and a lot of that came from the U.S., as export sales to America grew 29% during the first half of the year. France rebounded from last year's slump in sales to record a 6% gain. That slump was linked to retailers pushing orders up in late 2011 to beat a French tax increase. And despite the many economic problems in Spain, sales grew 11% there for the first gains in some time. Sales fell by 20% in China, as government officials there cracked down on gifts and expense accounts. Sales fell 18% in Taiwan, but Singapore posted a 19% gain. Now, that market's not big on its own, but it's a major distribution hub for the entire Asia-Pacific region. You can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at whiskeycast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Help us select the next Glenmorangie single malt whiskey with the Glenmorangie Caskmasters project. Sign up online through the Glenmorangie Facebook page or on glenmorangie.com.
Each month, we pick a WhiskeyCast community member at random from the registered members at WhiskeyCast.com for our monthly drawing. Congratulations to Jim Bullion of Oxford, Mississippi. Jim is this month's winner of a print from the WhiskeyCast Photo Gallery. You have until the end of the month to register at WhiskeyCast.com for September's drawing. And while you're there, don't forget about this month's Bourbon Heritage Month special in the gallery. With every order of $100 or more, you'll receive a free 11x14-inch print of The Rickhouse. And I'll be donating 20% of all sales this month to the ALS Association's Parker Beams Promise of Hope Fund. You'll find the gallery in the mall section at WhiskeyCast.com. This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park. Had several comments on last week's interview with Preston Van Winkle on the annual stampede to find bottles of Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve Bourbon. Ian posted this comment from the UK on Twitter. Another great episode, but I fear may have stoked demand for unobtainium even higher. Well, Ian, I'm not sure it can get much higher than it is already. Justin Chisholm posted this note on our list of great whiskey bars in the resources section at WhiskeyCast.com. Here's what he had to say. I have a couple of bars to mention. One is the Albanach in Edinburgh. Good bar, excellent whiskey, fantastic town. The other bar is my favorite, mainly because I was fortunate to live near it for a few months. It's the John Bull Inn in Alnwick, Northumbria, England, about a half-hour train ride north of Newcastle. The town is a summer tourist area on the coastal castle route, and the old market town vibe is very much alive. It's grounded by the Duke of Northumberland's castle, one of the most beautiful and well-preserved castles in England, the set to many movies, including the first two Harry Potter movies. The John Bull Inn is a fantastic example of a British pub, no TV or jukebox, many friendly locals, a strong real ale and Belgian beer selection, as well as 200 whiskies. All served neat by a very small, kind, and smart staff. There are many discontinued and mothballed treats to be found. The Bowl is a tiny pub and a hidden jewel. Justin, thank you for the suggestions. Josh Scott in Indiana posted this tweet on the most recent WhiskeyCast HD episode. Fantastic WhiskeyCast HD podcast on the Miner's Delight in Bed and Breakfast. I'm ready to go there now. Well, I'm ready to go back. If you have a question, suggestion, or something you'd like to get off your chest, you can always post it on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com, or you can email me. My address is comments@WhiskeyCast.com, and this week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park.
My name's Daryl Haldane, Global Brand Advocate for Highland Park. Go onto our website, highlandpark.co.uk, and upload your photo at Inner Circle to have your face on the walls of the Highland Park Distillery.
Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. First off, there are just a few tickets left for the 40 Creek Whiskey Weekend, the last week of this month. I'll be up in Grimsby, Ontario at 40 Creek Distillery that weekend for a couple of tasting panels with John Hall, Davin DeKergamo, and Joanne McInnes. If you're going to be there, please be sure to stop me and say hello. The Lagavulin Isla Jazz Festival is this coming weekend on Isla. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival gets underway on the 17th and runs through the 22nd in Bardstown, Kentucky. The first Whiskey Live Prague will be on September 20th and 21st. Hill Rock Estate Distillery will hold its first anniversary open house September 21st in Ancrum, New York. Whiskey Fest San Francisco is September 27th. Whiskey Live Paris will be on the 28th through the 30th. Right now, you'll find more than 350 different whiskey events on the calendar at WhiskeyCast.com. There's bound to be one near you. The calendar is brought to you by Laphroaig. Don't forget about the annual Laphroaig Live webcast on the 26th of September. Details are available at laphroaig.com/live. And while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Billy Lighton, Master Blender, Redbreast Single Pot Still Irish Whiskey.
The sherry butts in particular have a big impact on the flavour of Redbreast. It gives it the deep, dried, fruity notes, which is probably the signature of Redbreast. Take a sip, hold it in my mouth for minutes, and just dissect it and pick up all the little fruity notes. There's something that I didn't notice before. Whenever you leave your glass of Redbreast sitting there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You can go back to it and go, oh, something's changed there. Why is that changing? How is it changing? Is this something that I should be picking up on, you know? It's fascinating. And, I mean, I've been in the business 34 years and it still excites me, you know, things like this.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
This week, Barry Crockett officially stepped aside as master distiller at Middleton Distillery. He's been a fixture there for the last 47 years. In fact, he grew up there in the distiller's cottage when his father was the master distiller. Irish distiller's Pernod Ricard brought in journalists from around the world for the housewarming ceremony at the distillery expansion, but they deliberately kept one event off the main schedule. It was supposed to be a surprise, the dedication of the original stillhouse in Barry's honor, but somehow Barry figured it out.
I will miss the excitement of the the distilling operation here. But then, having said that, there comes a time in everyone's life when you've got to realize that it's time to hand over the mantle or hand over the reins to another generation, as it were. I've had my day in the sun in the business. I will miss it.
Barry will still be hanging around at Middleton. He's doing research work in the Irish Distillers Archive at Middleton and will be working on a master's degree in industrial archaeology at University College in Cork. His successor is Brian Nation, who's been working with Barry for the last 10 years and grew up in Cork. Let's meet Brian on this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth.
I graduated from college in 1997 with a degree in chemical and process engineering. And I suppose, leaving college, my idea would have been I would have ended up in a pharmaceutical plant or an oil refinery or whatever. And I tried both and only lasted a few months in each of the industries. And one evening I was at home after finishing in the pharmaceutical plant I was working in, and I got a phone call, would I come for an interview at the distillery? And I jumped at the opportunity, and I worked as an environmental engineer for the first year. And then I moved over to projects where we were expanding. We were doing our own internal expansion of the distillery and troubleshooting distillery and trying to open up its full capacity. So I worked a lot on that. And I did that for probably 2 to 3 years. And then I moved across into production and I started working with Barry. And I suppose the rest is history, in that I did my 10-year, almost apprenticeship with Barry, going through the craft of distilling. And it's interesting when Barry describes about how he progressed within the company himself. I almost did the same, insofar as I started off in the brewing. I started off working in the brewing and kind of getting a full understanding of the brewing before progressing forward into the distillation itself. And I also worked on shift for about 18 months, where I learned the plant like the back of my hand, understanding every nook and cranny to understand the process inside out. And that was all part of the training and the mentoring that I would have got from Barry as well.
Did you have a family history in the business?
No, I didn't. From a family point of view, no, none of my family have worked in the distillery. So it would have been a departure from that point of view within my family. But for me, I always liked whiskey. I would have liked drinking whiskey. But I didn't have, I would say, as much of an appreciation, obviously, as I do now. And it really, the passion for whiskey and the passion for the job I do now really developed as time moved on within the distillery itself. Because when I got into the distillery, I didn't know what was ahead of me, really. I didn't go in with a fixed position in mind. It was really just getting in, seeing what it was going to be like. And I just loved the whole tradition that was associated with it. I loved the craft that was associated with it. And things really just worked out very well for me.
Obviously so. I mean, you're now the master distiller at the biggest distillery in Ireland.
Yes, it's an honour, really. Barry, obviously, having been in the distillery for 47 years, and his family having been in the distillery for years before that, he's a very hard act to follow. They're big shoes to fill. I mean, his legacy, he's an icon in the world of whiskey. And for me, it was great to have the opportunity to be actually mentored and trained by someone of his stature within the whiskey industry. I'm relishing the challenge, very passionate about what I do. I love the whole industry. I love the whole tradition associated with it. I love the craft. And for me, craft is very important in that, and showing the craft. And the housewarming that we had on the 4th of September was really opening the gates and showcasing the craft that is Middleton.
Where do you go from here? What's your goal over the next 10 to 15 years?
Well, if you consider the first and foremost is to continue the tradition and the legacy that is Barry Crockett in relation to the distillery itself. So continue doing what we do best. But also in a short term, we're involved in an expansion. We're through commissioning of those plants, be it the pot stills and the grain columns. So obviously in a short term goal is to make sure that each part of the expanded plant is producing exactly the same type, flavour and quality of spirit that the old plant produces. Because when we talk about the expansion, we would have, there was a big design team put together for the expansion. We had a lot of great ideas in regards to energy efficiency, increasing yield, and we delivered on a lot of this. But the real caveat of the whole expansion was, do not alter the taste or flavour of any of our whiskies. So that was number one. And even it was number one, two, three and four, everything else followed well down below that. We have succeeded in achieving energy efficiency and increasing yield from our grain, but it was not at the detriment of quality. It could never be at the detriment of quality. So from in the short term point of view, commissioning new plant is a major goal. And then as we look further, having the expanded plant, it allows us to play, and it allows me to play a little bit more tunes in relation to the pot stills. For the last, I suppose, decade, we've been to the pin of our collar in relation to capacity and throughput, and actually getting to play different tunes on the pot stills hasn't been that easy because we have had to make our production targets as such. Whereas now with the newly expanded plant, we have an ability to do that. So hopefully develop new different styles of pot distillates as well.
We know the difference basically between pot still and traditional single malt and the way that Irish pot still whiskey is made. But what are you able to do with the stills to tweak that to get different characters out of the barley?
Well, it's actually, there's an array of different types of pot distillates we can produce, because what we do is within each pot still, we can produce different types of cuts to actually give us different types of end distillates. So if you take the wash still, we can actually produce strong or weaker low wines, which will ultimately go forward to the faint still. Within the faint still, we can actually produce different strength strong faints and different strength weak faints. And we do that by varying the cut point within the distillation. And then when you take your strong faints forward to your spirit still, we can do some different cuts there as well and cut deeper or earlier in the heart of the distillate to produce different types of distillates. So we have an inbuilt flexibility within the distillery, and not even to talk about changing your mash bill or once you have your final pot distillate, going forward to maturation and maturing in different types of casks to actually produce different types of pot whiskies at the end of the game.
And this will let you at some point start introducing new types of whiskies.
Yes, exactly. And we have an ambitious plan that over the next 10 years to actually release two additional expressions of single pot still whiskies for the next 10 years. That is very ambitious, but it's something that we believe we can achieve, and we will achieve with the, you know, they will all be super premium prestige whiskies.
One of the things you did about a year and a half ago, was come out with Yellow Spot.
Yes.
Which was not only a pot still whiskey, but a recreation of an old style pot still whiskey from the back in the day when the whiskeys came with spots like Green Spot and Yellow
Yes.
Spot and the other colors that were on those barrels at various pubs around Ireland. How hard was it to recreate Yellow Spot, and can you do that with others?
Well, we were lucky insofar as that we have a good relationship with Mitchell & Sons, so we were able to go back through the archives and see the whole makeup of Yellow Spot, and having that real close synergy with Mitchell & Sons allowed us to actually develop Yellow Spot. And that's one of the areas with the single pot still range that we're looking at, insofar as that we want to stay true to the tradition, the craft and the heritage. So yes, it's possible that over the next few years you may see another one or two types of spots, same as in relation to the likes of Redbreast. The plan would be to release another style of Redbreast.
But the impetus for Yellow Spot actually came out of finding a bottle of the original.
Exactly, yeah.
That you had access to the recipes, but you didn't know what it tasted like.
We didn't know exactly what it tasted like. So once that was found and we were able to get to the heart of it, we were actually able to recreate it. And the use of, again, it comes back to the whole wood management and the craft of the maturation that we have here at Middleton to be able to actually produce a pot distillate and a pot whiskey, having matured in some Malaga casks to actually get the flavours that we wanted.
Have you been able to unearth any older whiskies that you could come out with?
Say that
again. Have you been able to unearth any other types of pot still from back in the day?
Well, we have, and we have a lot of, I suppose, exciting plans over the next few years. But what we're hoping is to actually leave them be surprises for people as time moves on. So the plan is that, again, with the releases of every year of two releases, mm-hmm. that we'll actually keep the element of surprise for people.
One of the things we've talked about a lot over the last few years is the decision based when the Middleton Distillery was built to start blending a lighter version of Jameson and mixing in the grain whiskey instead of the old traditional Jameson Dublin whiskey that everyone knows. Is that something that you could try again just as a one-off to recreate the old Jameson pot still?
It is possible, and again, from the with the ability that we have here and with the flexibility that we have in the distillery, and now with the expanded distillery, we have the possibility and the potential to play around with different types of whiskies like that.
I won't ask whether it's on the drawing board or not, because I know you won't tell me anyway.
Exactly. But, if I tell you, I'd have to kill you.
Well, we don't want that. But are you having fun with this? Has this been what you thought it would be?
I suppose it's a daunting task to follow on from Barry Crockett. But I'm confident enough in my own ability, and I'm confident because myself and Barry have worked so well together. We built up a very good friendship and relationship over the years. There was a lot of trust between the two of us. And from that point of view, it was very easy to work with each other and to actually learn from Barry. So from that point of view, I have a lot of confidence. I'm enjoying every minute of it because of my passion for what I do and because of my love for the whiskey industry and the whiskey business. Also, I have a great passion for education insofar as educating people and showing and showcasing the craft that we have here at Middleton. So all of it ties in with what I want to do for the future.
When did they tell you that you were going to eventually take Barry's place? And how long have you known, and what did you think when they said, we want you to eventually become master distiller?
Well, when I started working with Barry 10 years ago, it wasn't said then that you are definitely going to be the next master distiller. It probably would have been hinted around and there would have been mutterings that it was a potential, but you never really know until it actually happens. I suppose as in the last maybe 3 or 4 years, it's become more and more apparent that it was going to happen, and then an air of excitement, an air of honour, and an air of nervousness came through. And now that it has actually happened, they all still remain. But I think it's good to have those type of feelings, the excitement, the little bit of nervousness, because my main goal as Master Distiller here is to continue the traditions from John Jemison all the way through to Barry Crockett and to do them all proud in what I do going forward.
The first Middleton release to carry Brian's name also carries Barry Crockett's name. They worked together on the Middleton Master Distillers edition, and both men are featured on the label. Only 500 bottles were produced. A brief disclaimer, I was one of many journalists who came to Middleton as guests of Irish Distillers Pernod Ricard for the housewarming, but as with every episode of Whiskey Cast, I made all of the editorial decisions on the content of this week's episode. And that's this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth. Next week, we'll catch up on one more story from Middleton. In the very first episode of WhiskeyCast HD, Middleton's fifth-generation master cooper, Jer Buckley, showed us some of the tools that he learned to use over the years and told us that he was hoping to get an apprentice to pass along that knowledge to. I saw Jer this week, and he's just started training his young apprentice. We'll hear from Jer and Killian O'Mahony next week. Let's start off the What I'm Tasting This Week department with one of the whiskeys that comes from Middleton, but gets very little attention. In fact, I didn't even know about Dunphy's Irish Whiskey until I saw it at a local off-license store. It was originally created years ago for the U.S. market, but is now sold primarily just in Ireland and a few other European countries. It's designed for mixing in cocktails and bottled at 40% ABV. The nose has notes of buttered popcorn, a touch of clove, and is grassy and earthy. The taste starts off thin, but clove and cinnamon spices come on strong with an oily and thick mouthfeel, and the finish is aromatic and spicy with lingering cinnamon and clove notes. It is what it is, a simple, inexpensive Irish whiskey. I'm scoring Dunphy's a 78. Glen Grant's Five Decades single malt honors distillery manager Dennis Malcolm's five decades of service. Just like Barry Crockett, Dennis grew up at Glen Grant when his father worked there, and this malt uses casks that Dennis picked from each of his five decades on the job. It's bottled at 46% ABV. The nose is ripe and fruity with apricot, peach, sultanas, cocoa, and a hint of toffee. The taste starts off fruity with sultanas and grapefruit notes. Then the spices kick in with a good cinnamon burst and a hint of ginger. The fruity notes return as the spices fade. The finish is long and fruity with sultanas, grapefruit, and a subtle touch of toffee. I'm scoring Glen Grant Five Decades a 93. Single Cask Nation's bottling of a 12-year-old Dalmore spent most of its maturation time in an ex-bourbon cask, and the final 10 months in a Pedro Jimenez sherry cask. It's bottled at 46.1% ABV. The nose is full of toffee, figs, brown sugar, caramel, red grapes, roasted cashews, and dark chocolate. The taste is thick, mouth-filling, and well-balanced, with mild cinnamon, white pepper, toffee, and a clear brandy and sherry-like influence with notes of Christmas cake, oranges, honey, and cooked fruits. The finish is long and sweet with a cloying touch of cooked fruits as well. It's one of the best Dalmore casks I've ever tasted. I'm scoring the Single Cask Nation Dalmore Cask 6951 a 93. I'm adding these tasting notes to the searchable list of more than 1,000 different whiskeys at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find WhiskeyCast HD and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings episodes, the calendar of events, news updates, and the WhiskeyCast photo gallery. Don't forget about the Bourbon Heritage Month special in the gallery through the end of September. The address is WhiskeyCast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media and comes to you this week from Middleton, County Cork, Ireland. Thanks to everyone at Irish Distillers for their hospitality this week. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.